The Fifth Column at the Southwark Playhouse. Memories. I will remember for the rest of my life our tune to the Bandera Rosa, played at the beginning of the show. This song set the scene for a play that zipped along the horizon of Madrid in the grips of civil war. It would be the second time I was to be directed by the incomparable Tricia Thorns and produced by the steadfast Graham Cowley. Because of this, it was with an attitude of calm that I entered the first day of rehearsal, knowing that we were in safe hands. The first week of rehearsals were in a space just off the Thames in southeast London, close to Bermondsey, called the Sands Films Studios. This veritable labyrinth of a building reminded me of an old England, lost in schoolboy memories. Its sweet little cafe, complete with red and white checked tablecloths, was only the reception to what was a maze of costume and theatre oddity. I was definitely not wont for distractible material. After the first blustering week, complete with terrible German accent attempts and multiple changing room sojourns, my character did not appear until the second half, which left me with a lot of spare time this week, we moved to a new base of operations at the out-of-joint offices, where Graham also works when he is not avidly promoting Two's company. It was here I had the pleasure of seeing consummate theatre legend Max Stafford Clarke make his way in and out of his office, there to plan and create more magic to enthrall theatre-goers across the country. I only wish I had the courage to go up and speak to him. Maybe next time. We quickly had lines down and the play on its feet. I shudder to think now that at the time I was going through quite the fitness frenzy, and during the breaks my colleagues would see me doing press-ups, sit-ups and all manner of physical jerks for no particular reason save burning excess energy. I quickly made new friends in Michael Shelford and Sasha Frost and rekindled old ones in the form of James Elshwari and Stephen Ventura. It was a large cast and so I never lacked for a friendly face to talk and joke around with until it was time for the second half. My character Max was a tortured undercover operative and had the facial scars to prove it. This posed some obvious problems. It wasn't until the last week of rehearsals that I addressed it, at which point there was little time to deal with such a fuss. A mistake I will not willingly make a second time. As usual, Graham and Tricia were there to save the day, and quickly sent me packing to that historical bastion of theatrical makeup that is Charles Fox in Covent Garden. Within 2 hours, I was ready to go, complete with horrible facial deconstruction. From then on, it was plain sailing, with Hemingway at the helm. I would arrive at the Southwark Playhouse, lock up my ragged bike, and on my way to the changing rooms, grab a latte at the bar for good measure. It was no time to dawdle, however, as the half was about to be called, and I was needed on stage in full costume for the fight call. I would throw on my military garb in haste and speed down to the stage, where the ever-patient, ever-understanding stage manager, Remy Smith, would be waiting, with a large knife and grenade in his hands. 10 minutes later, after a quick knifing, I was all set up in the very back corner of the dressing room, where no less than 12 of us had to get ready every evening, and twice on Saturday. Sitting next to me was Elliot Brett, a newbie to the world of professional theatre, but a seasoned thesp nonetheless. It was here I would spend the first half of the show, doing my best Freddy Krueger makeup on my face, and chatting with Elliot, Sasha, and other ladies in the cast, divided, for decency, by a wall of pigeonholes. Then it was on to the second half, and the ritual of the mud. I can't tell you how many people I aggravated and bemused on my insistence that I used real mud for the part of Max. From actors to stage managers, directors to costume makers, I felt the full force of animosity, most pungent on my Brando-like antics. I did not regret it, however, although I did wish I was more considerate to everyone else's needs, and every night, after 50 press-ups, I plunged my hand into a bucket of brown goo and rubbed it all over myself. It was like being 5 years old again. And so I would throw myself on stage, muddied and bedraggled, ready for a new night of thrilling Civil War capers. Before I knew it, the month was over, and I was cleaning up my huge makeup station. It was a thrilling ride that made me a better actor in more ways than one. Although I did not accomplish all the goals I sought at the start of the production, my understanding of theatre and ensemble work deepened profoundly, even if I might not have thought it immediately after the show. Looking back, I'm sad I concentrated so hard on my issues in this production, which stopped me from engaging fully in such a vibrant company so full of colour and friendship. It is a pleasure, however, to remember this show so vividly for the people involved in it.